In my 30th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day, while I was among the exiles by the Kibar River, the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. That's how the book of Ezekiel opens up. Pretty powerful. First couple of chapters of Ezekiel, they have this grand, and I have to be honest, kind of bizarre vision of God's glory. He sees a flashing lightning bolt image of winged cherubim, and they have four faces, and they're intersecting wheels underneath them that are filled with, get this, eyes all over on the wheels. Very strange. But that's not enough. He continues, he says, these all float over the angelic being spirits, and above this is separated by this blue, glassy, gemstone sea. It's a great throne with someone that seems like, that looks like the Son of Man seated far above. And he is all fiery and flaming and brilliant in light. And he continues on. He sees the glory of God. He shares this. All around this being like the Son of Man was a glowing halo like a rainbow shining in the clouds on a rainy day. This is what the glory of the Lord looked like to me. When I saw it, I fell face down on the ground. I heard someone's voice speaking to me. Wow, right? What if right now we could see God's glory like that, like Ezekiel? How would you respond? How would that impact you? You know, as I read this, I think about the song from Mercy Me, you know, that says, I can only imagine what my eyes could see. If I could see this vision that Ezekiel saw, you know, surrounded by your glory, what would my heart feel? What would that be like? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe, just be frozen still? You know, will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to sing it all? I can only imagine. Imagine it. You know, we have this grand vision that Ezekiel gives us of God's glory. But you know, that's not all we hear about in the Bible. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, he expresses it in his second letter to the church in Corinth. He writes, whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. In other words, our eyes are open to this reality of God's presence. He says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You know, the Apostle Paul is describing it. And it, being what pastor and author Craig Rochelle, he describes in his book entitled It, he says this, it is the palpable spirit of the risen Lord. It is the real presence of God Almighty in our midst. It is this conscious reality of God the Holy Spirit being here present with us right now. Do you feel it? Do you know it? You know, the Israelites in Ezekiel's time believed that God was present in the temple, and they were safe because God was with them. You know, Pastor Craig Rochelle, he says that we know it when it's here. We feel it. We know it. We know when God's presence is with us. He also says that we know when it is not here. So today, I'm honestly asking you, do you know what he's talking about? Do you feel it today? God's presence. Do you know God's presence? Why are the Apostle Paul and the prophet Ezekiel, and as we read back earlier about servant Moses who dwelt in God's presence in the wilderness temple, why are these people so powerfully moved by the presence and power of God, his glorious presence, while it seems like others, like those that we read about here in Ezekiel, they seem to be completely unaware of God's presence, or even worse, indifferent to it? Do you ever wonder, like I do? You following me so far? Does that make sense? Are you with me? Nod your head, yes, if you're with me. Okay, if you're not with me, go like this. We'll start over. No. All right. So, the Apostle Paul, he says that we all, so all of us, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory. So with our eyes open to God's reality by faith, so all of us are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory. So imagine Ezekiel's vision now, ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. He says we are experiencing it. You know, God's ever-increasing glory as believers. He says God is... God's desire is to be with his people, is to have relationship with us. And it's highlighted again and again in the phrase that's repeated over and over by Ezekiel when he says, then you will know. So if you're taking notes, this is the first fill in the blank. Then you will know. Know what? Well, then you will know God, know God's presence. So the Israelites, they will know it. They will know God's judgment and sin, that God is almighty, that God is present. They'll know God's holiness, right? They'll know God's justice. They will know that God is God. They will know God's power and God's spirit. They will know his grace and compassion and mercy. They will know his forgiveness. They'll know God's love, and they will know God. Have you ever experienced God? Do you know God? Do you know his presence, his love, his grace? Like Ezekiel? Cheryl and I had experience when we were with our friend Tim. We were coming off of a conference that we were at on the teaching of the Holy Spirit and the work and ministry of the Spirit. And whenever we are in the presence of God, we become keenly aware of our own selves and our own shortcomings in relation to God. And in that place, God does a work of healing. God transforms us into his likeness with ever-increasing glory. And at this conference, those kinds of things were happening. But we did experience the presence of God in ways that it's really kind of hard to explain. But when we were on our way home, we were just kind of sharing the joy of the Lord and our experience and the joy that we had. And we were just overcome by this joyful presence of God. In fact, so much so that we had to stop, pull over on the side of the road because we had just broke out in this Holy Spirit laughter. Has that ever happened to you? Where it's just this uncontrollable joy of the Lord is just pouring out of you. And it's just, you can't stop laughing and giggling and enjoying God's presence. Now, you might think we were enjoying something besides the Holy Spirit, but we really weren't. It was just the power of God in an unexplainable way. Wow, amazing. Nothing more filling and fulfilling and joyful. So, how do we know the presence of God? How do we have an awareness of God and awareness of ourselves? Well, it starts with this: know our current reality. So that's our first point today. Know our current reality. Ezekiel's vision, it begins all the way in exile in Babylon by the Mistinka River. However, okay, I see some smiles. I'm just trying to see if you're following along here, right? Right? Not the Mistinka River. Anybody know which river he's at? The Kabar River in Babylon. All right. So he's at the Kabar River, and God calls Ezekiel to speak the reality that they are in to the people. And God says, they're not about to listen to you, but I'm sending you with a purpose. And that is, he writes, and whether they listen or refuse to listen, for remember, they are rebels, at least they'll know that they have had a prophet among them. They'll know God was speaking to them through this prophet. So prophets deliver God's message to the people on behalf of God. But here's the thing about revealing our current reality. And it's why things always seem to go so poorly for the prophets. It's this: few people want to deal with their current reality. We don't want to deal with our current reality. We often don't want to discover that things are not as we thought they were, or that our current reality is actually far away from God's intention for us and in our lives. The scroll that Ezekiel eats, it describes what's wrong with Israel, all their sins, their shortcomings, the way they have rebelled against God, and the outcome that it's going to produce, and the word in it, they're described like this, as funeral songs, as words of sorrow, as pronouncements of doom. What did you say over there? What was doom? Dungeons of doom. There we go. You know, doom. And so there is the voice said to me, "Son of man, eat what I am giving you. Eat this scroll and then go and give the message to the people of Israel." There's this saying in the vitality movement in healthy missional churches. It says this, that there's no vitality without reality. So in order for us to be thriving and knowing and living in the presence of God, there has to be this understanding of reality the way it really is. And that means to become healthy missional, which is pursuing Christ is healthy, and missional is pursuing Christ's priorities, that there has to be this healthy dose of reality. So we have to ask and answer the tough questions. And that's not just as churches, right? That is as individuals. So we were doing that last Sunday when we gathered back here. We asked those questions like, how are we loving God and loving others in the church? How are we loving God and others in the community? And then the vitality question is the follow-up one, and that's this. How can we do it better? Where are we falling short? So in order to experience our reality, experience it, this presence of God through us, we need to be openly aware of what's keeping us from pursuing Christ and pursuing Christ's priorities. Or worse, what's standing in the way of experiencing it. So imagine for a moment, what would it feel like if God left the sanctuary? I see a face. What would it feel like if it, the presence of God, were no longer here? Would we notice? Would we care? Or would we just continue to go on through the motions? That's what was happening in Israel. They no longer knew God or knew his presence. They were just continuing to go on through the motions. And for Ezekiel, his prophetic mission is to reveal to Israel that they're completely unaware of their current reality. They have fallen so far away from God that they don't even know God, and they don't even know they're on the wrong path. And it's leading to a devastating end. And they don't want to hear that. So Ezekiel is transported from Babylon now to the temple in Jerusalem. And here's the words we read. "Then the Lord said to me, 'Son of man, look towards the north.' So I looked, and there to the north, beside the entrance to the gate near the altar, stood the idol that had made the Lord so jealous. 'Son of man,' he said, 'do you see what they are doing? Do you see the detestable sins the people of Israel are committing to drive me from my temple? But come and you will see even more detestable sins.'" So here's the shocking reality of the people of God in Jerusalem, in the worship, in the sanctuary where God is present. They are literally driving God out of the temple because of their acts that they are doing. So it says, even worse than what they're doing is what they're saying. "The Lord doesn't see us. He has deserted our land." Well, friends, that's crazy, right? To say the Lord doesn't see us. Do you really think the Lord isn't there? What do you think? Do you think the Lord doesn't see? Our DC class, we talked about God and this word omniscient. Do you remember what omniscient means? Anybody? God is omniscient, meaning, all knowing, that's right. God is all knowing. That means God can see everything. There's no hiding from God. You know, last week we were at, or 2 weeks ago, I was at a leadership training, and we were took a break and we went searching for a cup of coffee. And so I found one and got a nice cup of coffee in a styrofoam cup and went over to the counter where all the condiments are and put in my cream and stirred it up a little sweetener and got it all tasted just right, you know, and set it down. And I was going to take off, so I took the cover, a plastic cover, and put it on there and I pushed it down. And apparently, I pushed a little too hard because the cup split open right here. And as I pushed, it all just went whoosh all down the front of my pants. Now, it was an exhilarating experience, but it wasn't it. It was not the presence of God. But I was keenly aware of all the people who were standing around watching. And to be honest, this happened to be a women's conference. And they had just invited the pastors in for this small leadership training teaching. So I had all down the front of my pants, all wet, hot coffee. And my response was, "Oh, happy day, oh, happy day, when Jesus washed." Not really, it wasn't, but I was aware. You know, that's really kind of like our awareness of God's presence. God is always present. God sees everything. So share these answers out loud with me. I think they'll be up here on the screen. You know, what can the Israelites hide from God? Nothing, right? Nothing. So, can they hide their lies? No. Can they hide their money practices? Can they hide their fear? Their anxiety? No. Can they hide their worry? Can they hide their actions toward each other? Can they hide anything from God? So, how are you and I dealing with our hidden sins? Before a God who sees everything. What if we could see right now the presence of God? You know, like Ezekiel did, right there in the temple. Would we try to cover up? Or would we fall to our knees? What is our current reality? What is it that you and I need to bring before the Lord today and lay down? Are we honest about what God is revealing to us, the true reality? Or are we hiding and believing that we're covering it up from God? You know, we can tell ourselves that God doesn't know. We can tell ourselves that God doesn't see, or God doesn't care, or God isn't here, but we know the truth. The outcome for Israel was to refuse to hear what the prophet was saying. And it's extremely alarming because that ought to have gotten their attention. It ought to get our attention. Ezekiel's vision talks about the glory of the Lord, but what is happening as he goes along in this story is God's glory is revealed to Ezekiel by the Kebar River. And then in the temple in Jerusalem, in the Holy of Holies in the center, where the people are worshiping idols and driving God out of the temple. And then the glory of the Lord is revealed in the doorway to the outer court. And ultimately, the glory of the Lord is revealed above Israel and moving out of Jerusalem, leaving the city. God's glory is leaving his people. So this is the turning point for Israel. It's a reorientation that is beginning to take place before their flourishing can begin. Something has to happen. God is now going to do it. So God reveals that sin has its consequences, and God's people won't experience it, won't experience God's presence as long as they continue to intentionally sin, because God judges sin. Has that changed today? You know, we listen to God's word through the prophet. "Therefore, I will judge each of you, O people of Israel, according to your actions, says the sovereign Lord. Repent and turn from your sins. Don't let them destroy you. Put all your rebellion behind you and find yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O people of Israel? I don't want you to die, says the sovereign Lord. Turn back and live. Jesus' words in the Gospel of John in the New Testament, Jesus says, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teaching, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free in the presence of the Lord." And in Peter's letter, he says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." In other words, they're compelling and calling in this prophetic voice to return to the Lord. They're asking what house cleaning needs to take place in our hearts. What heart cleaning needs to take place in you and me. What have I closed my ears to hearing? What do I need to repent of and return? You know, we experience the presence of God as we deal with our current reality. And then we know God's presence. We know it when we allow God to give us a new reality. And that's the second point here, the second piece. God gives us a new reality. My sister Susan is in Belize. I talk about her fairly often, but she recently shared with me that she was called to give a message. It's interesting, Dee Dee, you said, "I'm not a preacher." And for Susan, her pastor was very discouraged. Things were not going very well in the church. And on Saturday night, he asked her if she would preach on Sunday morning. And she said, yes. And so she listened to the Holy Spirit and to get a message, and she said a message came to me, and she shared that. And then the pastor said, "I don't think you're done. I think you need to preach next Sunday." So she did another message, and then he said, "I think this is going well. I think you should preach again." Do you hear that, Rick Sando? So, okay. So she did, but she said this time nothing came. And it was Saturday night, and it was Sunday morning, and she was still waiting for a message. I know that feeling, that fear, standing up here, like, And yet, the Lord did speak through her on that morning. She shared a short testimony and called people to come to the altar and lay down their burdens. That was God's message. Because that morning, God working through the messages ahead, that morning, people experienced the presence of God, and they came to the altar, and they laid down their burdens. And granted, Belize is a little different kind of a worship environment than what we experience here, but the service went an hour longer than it normally did because people were down at the altar confessing and being cleansed and healed and knowing the presence of God. God was reorienting their reality, giving them a new one. See, God will reorient his people. In Ezekiel, we get a clue how God does that. He takes them into exile. And there, far away, he begins to work in them. God becomes their sanctuary. It's no longer an outward religion, but God is their presence. And then he gives them a new heart. We read it in Ezekiel 11. "Therefore, tell the exiles, this is what the sovereign Lord says, although I have scattered you in the countries of the world, I will be a sanctuary to you during your time in exile. I, the sovereign Lord, will gather you back from the nations where you have been scattered. I will give you the land of Israel once again, and I will give them singleness of heart and put a new spirit in them. I will take away their stony, stubborn heart and give them a tender, responsive heart, so they will obey my decrees and regulations. Then they will truly be my people, and I will be their God." I've heard it said that nobody invites a prophet home for dinner twice. Nobody likes a true prophet because they're up in your face and telling you the truth and revealing that reality that we often don't want to hear, that uncomfortable truth. But here's the thing, a true prophet is delivering God's message for ultimate good. So who's the Ezekiel speaking into your life right now? Who's that person that you know is right, what they're saying you know is true, and that you need to listen to them, whether you want to or not. Let's be honest with ourselves and ask this question. What needs reorienting in me before I can flourish again? Now, the good news is that Jesus gives us a compelling picture for the future, a flourishing future. When we return to Him, we experience it, God's presence, and follow His priorities. Jesus said, "Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." This is what He meant by the Spirit, whom those who believed in Him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. So we speak about all these kinds of things in the presence of God, and we recognize that in Israel, for them in that day, they did not have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit like we have in the presence of Christ. By faith in Christ, God pours out His Spirit in us and fills us up so that we know that joyous, glorious presence of God, His grace, His love, His compassion in our lives and in our hearts. So God is revealing this current reality. He's pointing to God's new reality in Jesus and this flourishing that comes with a new heart that comes through a new birth by faith in Jesus. With God as our sanctuary, the Holy Spirit filling us, and we experience it, the presence of God. You know, in the Covenant Church, we believe in a conscious dependence on the Holy Spirit. We believe it is the Holy Spirit who instills in our hearts a desire to turn to Christ, to know God, to know His dwelling within us, and that the Holy Spirit works in us and through us in our world to bring others to Christ. So this is God's promise through the prophet Ezekiel for a new heart. Do you know it? Do you know God's presence? Next week, we're going to look at how God fulfills His role as the Good Shepherd and guides us in all of life. But again, it begins by knowing His presence. Let us pray. Lord, over and over in your scriptures this week, you repeat the phrase, "Then they will know that I am God." Then you will know that I am God. Ultimately, Lord, we want to know you as God. And we do that by faith in Jesus. And so, Lord, we put our trust in you, Jesus, that we might know you, that we might be forgiven, that we might have a new heart that desires you above all else and desires to follow you. And Lord, that your glory will transform us from inside out, day by day, from glory to glory. Lord, that is our hope. In Jesus' name, amen.